I swear you say bae first.
I do. You want to do it over? Let's do it over. We got to do it over. We got to make sure it's airtight. Clap, please. What up, y'all? This is Panda AOD.
And Gym City Night.
And Gym City Night.
Keep going. Keep going.
What up, y'all? This is Panda AOD.
And Gym City Night.
Gym City Night. And you are listening to?
Baycast.
Baycast. Hey, bae.
Hey, bae.
Oh, hold on. All right, one more time. Promise. I got it. We ain't did this in forever.
Yeah, but it ain't that damn hard.
Whatever. Last time I had to coach you.
No,
you didn't. I knew it like the back of my hand.
Whatever.
What up, y'all? This is Panda AOD.
Gym City Nate.
Gym City Nate. And you are listening to?
Baycast.
Baycast. Hey, bae.
Hey, bae.
Hey, bae.
Hey, bae.
Hey, bae.
All right.
That took too many times. But that shows y'all how long it's been since we put out an episode. We said we were going to be consistent. We were good in the beginning. But let me tell you, honey, let me tell y'all what we've been up to. It's been so much. And mind you.
I'm going to say, you go ahead and take it from here.
Mind you, y'all, we still full-time entrepreneurs, both of us. Like, so when we told y'all we took the leaps, we're still in it. And let me tell y'all what has been going on since.
One.
The first thing. What's the first thing? Was that the puppy?
I said everything. Depending on what time you're talking
about. I'm trying to think, what did we last talk about in our last episode that we put out? We were prepping for the engagement party.
So, yeah, we was planning for the engagement party.
And that went off without a hitch. I was a little flustered in the beginning.
I'm never doing no more planning.
You don't ever do no planning.
It's a reason.
It was very, so it could have been seamless. There were things that caused it not to be seamless, and that's okay. It always happens, literally. And I'm an event planner. Like, I've thrown events under AOD, which is Army of Dreamers, my media company. Mm. And so I expect the crazy, but I still also, like, don't, it's never easy. So, like, if I'm having an event and something's going wrong, it still feels the same way it would if it was, like, the first time. Like, I've gotten better, but it's, like, it's hard because you like to have everything controlled and you try to prepare every time. But every time you try to prepare, there's still something that is out of your control. So, long story short, I was a little, like, high strung at the early part of the day.
You feel a little bit. We got through it.
But one thing I can say, shout out to Nate, because he definitely held it down like he always does. When me and Nate first started dating and I was throwing events, he came and helped me with the biggest event I ever did. And not only did he show up and help and assist, he got video for me. And we weren't even were we boyfriend? We were boyfriend and girlfriend then, right?
Yes.
But we had just established boyfriend and girlfriend, which I feel like I'm not that girl that's like, oh my God, you did this for me, whoop-de-woo, because I feel like when you are giving someone your time, male or female, you should do certain stuff just from a standpoint of like chivalry. And I feel like it doesn't exist a lot anymore, but the level of like above and beyond that Nate went for me, to the point of like taking my car and driving around and doing stuff and grabbing stuff for me last minute at that event, was like top tier for sure.
Yeah. And being able to do things under pressure, being flexible, like keywords you said, last minute, it's been a reoccurring thing, but when
you say that, you gotta understand, we both be running late. It don't be a me thing, it be a we thing. Cause I'm the one who,
I don't be late.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do. I had to literally have a talk with you one day where I was like, Nate, if somebody is expecting you at X time, You should be out of the house by this time. First of all,
why are you making it a math problem? Like, the train leaves this station. And no, we never. I don't remember that conversation. And by the way, my record prior, I have never.
I don't believe it.
Babe, it's been time. I've seen you go to work. Like, you.
Oh, trust and believe. So listen, y'all.
You fashionably late. And it's not fashionable. Like, you just late.
At my old job, I was on time all the time, right?
On your
all
time.
All the time. No, listen. All the time. But when, and I know a lot of women will, not even women, but a lot of people who have worked at a place where they, you know, fell in love with the workplace. They were excelling in their job and all of that stuff. And then it starts to just crumble around you. Like, turnover is going crazy. You're losing people left and right. You're trying to keep your head on straight. You're trying to perform. You're feeling like you're undervalued and all of that stuff. Eventually, you do get to a point where you start going into work 15 minutes late. It's not because you're trying to, but you literally are, like, when you're asleep and you're feeling good and you wake up and you know you got to go to work, when you hit that point, you're dragging. It's honest and it happens. And that's where I was at. Like, my first 2 years, never late. Even that third year, I was probably seldomly late. That fourth year, I was on my own time. I was on my own time because I felt like I was so drained and I was given so much that I kind of had a chip on my shoulder going to work. And that's why I knew it was time to go. But let's get back to the engagement party.
Yeah.
It was a little stressful in the beginning, but everything was beautiful. It was a great turnout. Shout out to Jasmine. Climax Catering. Shout out to her. She did a great job.
Yep.
Shout out to Jeri, who was the lady who did my desserts. She's a family friend, very close family friend, and she did the desserts. She got raving reviews, like at the event, post-event. I already referred her to a couple people. I'm going to get her website together. We're going to get her a logo. She had like the packaging on point. Shout out to Sage Event Space, which we told y'all we was going to have it there. So, shout out to them. Shout out to everybody who was a part of it. Shout out to Larissa holding it down. Sierra, my brothers, my family, Nate's family.
I'm going to say just everybody who showed up.
Everybody who showed up. But like literally all of sisters, everybody who showed up. We love y'all. We're very thankful for our village. It was a great time.
Yeah.
So.
I thought it was cool.
Before, sure. Another reason why it might have been a little bit stressful. Before the engagement party, we actually have a new family. We got a new family member, and it was so unexpected.
Yeah. So, I mean, hey, you know, things happen. So, but, I mean, I'll put this out there. I asked you first. I ended up getting a message from my sis because, you know, love her and the Brown family to death. And she was like, hey, man, we got a new puppy, yada, yada. I was like, oh, I can't wait to see you, yada, yada. Week go past, and I get an early morning text message. It's like, hey, you want Bailey? And I'm like, you got to be shitting me.
Yeah, so backstory. Nate's sister got a dog. She's been wanting a dog for a while. She was super excited to get this dog. She got the dog, and she just couldn't. She has three small children. It just didn't work out. So I hear Nate on the phone with his sister, and I hear the conversation happening, and I'm in the kitchen. I'm like, hell no. In my mind. I was like, hell no.
Yeah, all right.
No.
All right.
It ain't happening. All
right.
We ain't going there. And then he actually asked me, and I told him, I said, I don't know about that. Like, it wasn't an immediate yes. But what I told him, I said, if you really want the dog, I'm not going to tell you no. The reason being was because I could have, but Nate and I are in a place where we can take care of a dog, another dog. So we were like, I was like, I'm not going to tell him no because he's done such a great job with Max. Minus some minor attitude adjustments.
He's still a work in progress, but overall, he's good.
But he's a good dog. And I knew that, you know, from seeing that, we would be okay. But my initial response was not yes.
It wasn't a hell no either.
No, it wasn't after I got myself together in the kitchen before I went in there to have that conversation. Because your sister was on the phone, so I knew that I needed to get myself together because I was like, I really don't want this dog. But then I like before me and Nate met, I did want a puppy, but I told Nate I was thankful that we met because he had Max, and I felt like the responsibility that came with Max, even him being a more like mellow dog, made me realize that if I would have got a puppy on my own, I wouldn't have had any freedom. Like I would have literally been at home all the time, because a puppy is like a child. You cannot leave them at home by themselves. You cannot, you just have to consider them in everything. Like me being somebody who's used to going out of town when I want to, I was throwing events for a long time, just going to see my family after that when I stopped throwing events. It was just like understanding that Shonda, every time Nate goes somewhere, he takes his dog to his mom. Like, what are you going to, what would you have done with a puppy? You would have dropped him off at your mom's every time you had to go somewhere. My mom wouldn't have dealt. She wouldn't have been good with a new puppy. With a dog that's well behaved, sure. But a new puppy, no.
I mean, like they said, it takes a village, you know.
So. But we have Bailey. So we have Max and Bailey now.
Yeah. And long story short, she loves them damn dogs. And everything's fine. So I don't see what the daggone problem is. I love
them now, for sure.
Yeah, okay. So that's been a new addition into the family. So, yeah. Just dealing with that and working with his little attitudinal self, so. And I don't know, you got, first of all, side note, attitudinal.
I was about to say, you just said my word.
Yeah, which I don't even know.
It's a real word. Look it up in the dictionary.
Because you just be spitting them out everywhere.
It's a real word.
Attitudinal. I'm like, Anyway.
So other than that, I mean, we're just continuously on the path of wedding planning. We got mostly everything locked in. Just looking for a couple things still.
Yeah.
And we're just building. Like, I think every day a constant conversation for us is our future. Like, what are you feeling? What are you thinking about? And usually we just talk about where our minds are at within our individual journeys. But then it comes to, okay, I might randomly browse for houses and send Nate pictures of houses or like the links to the houses. But he does the same thing every so often. He'll send me a link to a house or he'll send me something. Like, Nate's good for just literally sending me, like, funny videos or something. Like, he just be sending me his Instagram stories that he come across that make him laugh. Usually, it involves a dog or Snoop Dogg.
Hey, man. He king of Instagram reels.
Yeah. But so, that's been the whole thing. I guess it doesn't sound as crazy when we actually say it out loud, but that was the main time to change in our life was getting another dog. So now we have Max and Bailey. So instead of just what you're doing, Max, we have Max and then we have Bailey. So it'll probably be like, hey, it's Bailey. Be on the lookout for that Instagram.
Badass Bailey. That's the Instagram. Mm. Yeah.
So I did want to talk about some stuff though, because I was on a conversation with one of my clients and anonymously, because I'm not going to say his name, but he gave me permission to share. So he was engaged and he's no longer engaged, and he's no longer engaged because his fiance, from his perspective, from his account, his fiance allegedly like flipped out on him in front of his daughter and her kids. And it was about, he had an event and a girl he was talking to, not talking to at the time, but a girl he didn't even say he talked to her, excuse me. The girl used to work for him. I'm pretty sure a young, attractive girl, something. The girl used to work for him, and the fiance didn't like the girl. Did not like that the girl was working for him. Made him fire the girl. Basically told him to cut the girl out of his life. So the girl was not invited to his event, but she must have caught wind of the event and showed up from his account. And so the fiance saw the girl went off in front of people at the event, in front of his kid, her kids, and that's that. So the conversation now was, you know, you go from doing this elaborate engagement to canceling the engagement to considering your other options, to not worried about pursuing another relationship or pursuing that relationship. But they still show interest in that the kicker is that he is adamant that he deserves a apology. And it's funny you make that face, because what he said was he's went above and beyond for apologies in the past. He's done wrong, or he's made mistakes, made her upset. And he's went above and beyond to apologize. And he said her apologies are pretty much like half-assed. Like, I'm sorry. Can we lay down? Can we, like, can you just, like, kind of get over it? Can we, you know, go out to dinner? Can we, like, I'm sorry. Let's move on. And he thinks that that's not enough. Mm-hmm. So I guess my question about that, or my thought process, was it's crazy how men view...
So hold on, are you gonna ask me a question?
I'm just talking in general, but yeah, there will be a question that you can address. But it's crazy how men view apologies, I guess. Or I guess the question to me is, do you feel like there is a imbalance of apologies? Like, do you feel like when I apologize, it's less than what you do when you apologize? I don't know if I have to say yeah, because we've been having this conversation. I felt like you be doing a little less. You be like, I'm sorry.
I mean it.
You be like, I'm sorry.
I would say this, I'll admit. It takes a lot to get, it takes a lot more for me to get it out, to apologize. But when I say it, I do genuinely actually mean it. On the contrary, when I ask for an apology from you or an acknowledgement, yeah. I feel like you, it's kind of like you say it, and then so you can get it. I hear you. That's your main one. Say, I hear you. That, in other words, that's like, okay, let's dead this. Let's go. Let's move on.
And you have said that sometimes. So
ain't no sometimes. I said it every time.
There's been times where I've went above. Like, I guess it's okay. So disclaimer, like me saying I went above and beyond makes it seem like we've had like some crazy like circumstances where it was like some crazy apology was needed, which is not the case. But when we have had like our little qualms or whatever, I definitely have like taken the time to truly and sincerely apologize to you. There are times where I just say I hear you, but that's because it'd be something super petty. Like,
no, you might assume it's petty to you, but just because you assume that doesn't mean I'm coming at it in a petty way.
You're right.
So, because how you might feel doesn't necessarily mean that's how I feel, and vice versa. Because you tell me that all the time. Mm-hmm. But I feel a certain way. Well, just because you feel a certain way don't mean I feel that way. Well, maybe it needs to be reciprocal.
You're right. I'm not going to argue with that, because, I mean, I definitely... I can now if you're going to be all like that. But no, I'm not going to argue with that, because I do feel like perspective is a mug, and I feel like for everybody it's like that. So like, what I try to do, regardless of how I feel apology wise, is to let you understand or let you know that I truly do hear you, because perspective is something. Like, I can tell, like, with conversations we've had, there's certain things that you just don't understand as far as why it would make me feel a type of way. And again, this is like our stuff is not like traumatic stuff, or we're not like beefing. Like, we don't even stay mad for a day. We can't. But but the point is like, at the end of the day, I do understand that there's some things that you might say or do that you don't understand makes me feel a type of way, and I have to explain it to you, and you listen. So I guess, like, for me it was bizarre hearing it from someone else outside of us, who is a male, who was saying, you know, I feel like I go above and beyond for apologies all the time. Or not all the time, but when I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. She messed up in a major way. She brings me this dingy gift, this dingy gesture of an apology, and she kind of wants me to get over it. Like, she's reaching out, but everything is super, like, rushed. So I guess my question, too, is there... Is it too... Sometimes when a man is upset, should you just let him be upset? Like, what do y'all want? Do y'all want the woman to let y'all be upset? Does time need to transpire for it to feel real? Because, like, it seems like the situation happened and she's just been trying to get his attention or get over it. And he's just like, no, like...
Yeah, you're going to piss him off even more. I'm down for like the most space. Nah, I'm just saying.
Say that again, because your ass, you love your space.
I do. I love my space. And space don't mean like all, like space apart from your partner, as if you interested in someone else. I'm like, no, I just like being in my own bubble. Mm-hmm. I like if I'm feeling musical or whatever, or like creative, I want to be in that bubble. If I want to be on the game, I want to be on that bubble. If I mm-hmm. want to go out, play ball or whatever, that's my bubble. Like that's, I don't want to think about mm-hmm. anything else except that right there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would say definitely give a man the space. For sure. Because the last thing you want to be is a nag.
And I feel like for women too, it's like, I think, like my thing is, I think we're so far from the gender specifics of like behaviors and stuff, because I feel like there's women who want their space, but I feel like there's women who also are clingy or just like want to be cuddled and whatever.
They want their cake and eat it too.
You better.
No, I'm just saying. I'm not trying to come at women. I'm just saying.
You coming at women.
No, not, I ain't just saying. I'm just saying. Majority. I'm not. I ain't trying to be no Kevin Samuels or anything like that. I'm just saying. It's most. Not most. Some women out there can't see through the lenses of the other perspective.
Yeah.
And they want their cake and eat it too, because like they've been accustomed to having it their way for so long, it's difficult for them to readjust.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all I'm saying.
Can I say that's why there's like no,
especially with Instagram now,
I feel like we're gonna talk about that. I feel like there's so many gender, I feel like we're so far from the gender specifics of it, because everything you just said, I get it and I feel it, but I feel like men are that way too. I think that there's just differences based off of what people had growing up and what they picked up on. Like, I know for me, the guy who was talking about his fiance stuff, he was saying how she acts and she acts like her father, who was like, however combative or whatever. And for me, I'm like, I do think women who have their fathers in their life pick up on their personality more so than their mothers, because that father figure is very important to a woman. And I think that people, sometimes you hear like how important it is for a man to have his dad, which it is, but it's so important for a woman to have her father, because I feel like my cool head, my like ability to stop and think about someone else's perspective before I go into my own, like what I'm feeling, is from my dad. Like, I feel like my dad always had that pause to be able to just sit and listen to me and like understand where I was coming from. And so that's how I kind of like, I got a lot of good things from him. So I feel like women and men, like trait specific, it's not really a gender thing. It's more of like a kind of, what did you pick up on? Because I done met some men who definitely picked up on their mama. And it was not in a good way. Like, attitude, mama's boys, which is a good thing and a bad thing. Because you're a mama's boy and you are a great mama's boy.
Yeah.
I love your mom.
I do too.
But so, Instagram. Because that could get long-winded. But Instagram.
It's all fake.
The funniest thing, y'all, Nate has said it to me before about Instagram models and how they get on his nerves.
For real.
But today took the cake, because he hadn't said it in a while, because he'll say it every so often or whatever. And so today he's sitting there on the couch. I forget how it exactly went down, but you was looking at something.
I was scrolling. I'm just, you know, just doing my regular scrolls. And then I came across, because it's like, you know how they got the whole thing where you can follow hashtags. So with me, mm-hmm. I follow music production. And it was like underground hip hop, yada, yada. So I'm like, all right, cool. Because you got underground production. So I'm like, all right, cool. So under this hashtag, I'm seeing this big busty woman with her goodies out and whatnot. I'm like, man. I mean, normally a guy, you're going to take the time to look at it. But I'm like, I'm upset, because I'm like, bro, I follow it because I'm a music geek. I'm looking at the music gear. I want to see how they're using it. And I'm seeing this ass out on the Instagram. And I'm like, man, I'm low-key tired of this shit. Like,
it was so funny, though, because he had made a noise or said something like, man, And so I'm like at the couch doing something and I peek at his phone. I'm like, what's wrong? You tired of seeing it? And we just kind of laugh because it's like, you ain't tired. Like, I gave him that look like, you ain't tired of seeing it. And he kind of paused before he said, yeah, because he knew how it was going to sound.
Yeah, she tried to say it for okie doke, but you click on the daggone models page. And then another thing I hate, I mean.
So you clicked on the models page.
But then, but here's the thing. It's like, it says entrepreneur. I'm like, when we talk about being entrepreneurs, we're talking about like long nights. Long. Not to say they don't put in long hours.
Hold on, y'all. So if y'all didn't pick up on everything that just was discussed in that couple sentences. Nate, this is what cracks me up. He gets so, he always tell me how he's so irritated and tired of these Instagram models, right? And then I get the whole, like, you know, clickbait where, like, you are, because he is a music man. So he is truly, I believe he's truly tuning into this page for the music, like, stuff.
Yeah.
But you see a voluptuous woman, you see her with her portions all in the right places or whatever. Your thought is not, man, I'm sick of this shit. Like, swipe. No. His thought and his behavior was, oh, let me click that so I can see a couple more pictures. But what pissed him off was when he clicked it and went to it and it said entrepreneur. Because he petty. So he like, entrepreneur? Bitch, you making all this money off of these booty pics and I'm trying to make money for real. That was the whole process.
That's what you interpreted. I ain't saying none of that. But I won't disagree. But yeah, they all out there. I mean, if that's what you do, hey.
So I'm curious to know with you fellas and ladies, but how do y'all feel about like the Instagram model thing? Like, because I mean, there's some girls who are really out here getting it. Like they are making money off of just pictures and I'm not mad at it. But at the same time, I know that there's people who like one of the things for a lot of women is like the unrealistic, like display of like what a woman's body should be. Like most women who are Instagram models, they got work done. So it's like, that's an issue for me. I really don't care because I love my body. How it is now, how I want it to be. Like, I love my body. So I don't have an issue with any other woman's body. Like, there's women who got work done that look crazy. There's women who got work done who look great. So I don't have an issue with it. And I also don't have an issue with how they make their money. Because I was telling Nate earlier, any woman who's really on her stuff, you can make money off of your body. You could take pictures. You could do whatever. But it's about, like, is that what you want to do? And no shade to those who do it. But, like, for me, it's like, I got other goals that don't align with that. I can't achieve these things going that route. So, that's just me.
Yeah. And some folks would just find it as, like, a moral thing. You're like, hey. And like, yeah. I said, you do what you do. Get it how you live. No judgment over here.
Yeah. I think the moral conversation is a very intricate one because it's like, what's morally wrong with the woman showing her body?
I mean, depends on the place. Like, you got a woman showing her body on Instagram, but then you got a lady showing their bodies in the strip club.
Which or one? Even like, because everybody has their own interpretation of what the temple is, how the temple is supposed to be. So like, everybody talks about how Adam and Eve were nude before Adam ate the apple out the tree. So the question then becomes, like, people say it all the time, like with strippers and all that, like it's a living, it's a occupation, they get their money. And with like the Instagram models, like, so I guess my thought is, and I'm not saying, I get what you're saying on the moral part, but I'm like, morality of it is still kind of debatable because it depends on what your beliefs are. Like, some people believe we should all be able to walk around naked in the flesh, like, because that's how we were born. And you know, society has told us to wear clothes. My thing is, I just know my goals are this. And this is the way this is structured. I can't do that.
Yeah. I mean, because sadly, I say it's all going to be about how you are perceived too. Mm-hmm. Like for most Instagram models, like they could be Harvard graduates or whatever, but because they got they back in facing the camera and whatnot, and they doing all sorts of
they back in.
Yeah, I wasn't trying to say ass, but you know, but back hey, since, in. Yeah, since they got they drunk in the trunk, all up in the lens. I mean, folks are gonna take it as oh, she a this, she a that.
It's and, just so funny the contradictions though. For a lot of people, because I know for me, I do get tired of seeing ass in my timeline.
It's all on the timeline.
I do get tired of seeing it. I mute a lot of pages and whatnot, but like for people who literally click on it all the time, like I ain't trying to say no names. Cough, cough.
I know you ain't talking about me.
Y'all be saying y'all tired, but y'all keep clicking on stuff.
Bruh,
you know what makes the content? That's what I'm saying. You know what makes the content like grow and like what makes it popular is how many people click on it. If people keep clicking on it, it's gonna keep growing. That's just the fact.
Amen.
All right. So next topic. I know that. I
can't stand you.
I know, it's so funny. This is a good one. This is a good episode. But I know that another thing. So let's talk about first of all, shout out to Zuri because we went to Zuri's art show.
Yes.
Very Sanctuary. Good. Zuri Ali, we went to her art show in Dayton, Ohio at Genuine Work, which is managed by Dana Graham. Shout out to Dana. Toby helped with the space curation. Cam was there, which is Zuri's husband, he's just always like cool. Like Cam is really, really cool, really dope person.
Yep.
But her show was really great. Artwork was amazing. And we had a great time. We went to the show, had a good time, saw a lot of folks from Stivers. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Stivers. And then we went out to Red Lobster, which is one of his favorite places. So shout out to Asia because she gave us that gift card at our engagement party. But yeah, that was a good time.
Cheddar biscuits.
Nate had hella cheddar biscuits. He actually got 8 cheddar biscuits to go. And we used them in our breakfast the next 2 days, which was very
convenient.
Good. Like, for y'all who love grits in the morning, grits with shrimp, grits with, you know, bacon. Because we do ours with bacon and eggs and cheese. And it's amazing.
I'm about to say, don't say shrimp. Yeah, I'm about to say, where that been at?
I don't eat shrimp. So that's you. If you want shrimp, cook the shrimp.
You can surprise me.
I have before.
Once.
But no, like shrimp or grits, bacon, eggs, cheese, and Red Lobster cheddar biscuits.
Cheddar biscuits.
It was really good. But I say all that to say, like, I think another challenge that we all have been facing is we're still kind of low-key getting slap happy being in a pandemic still. Like, we're still not going out like that. And we probably won't ever go out like we used to. It doesn't feel comfortable anymore. So, like, we spend so much time in the house together. And a lot of times we're in separate rooms, but like I'll be at my desk working on something and Nate will come in the room and talk to me for like 10 minutes. And then when he talks to me, I have to stop what I'm doing because I want to. Like I stop what I'm doing to hear him because it's important to me.
She don't pay me no never mind.
I really do.
No,
you can't say I haven't been getting better.
Just that statement alone shows that she don't pay me no never mind.
No, I do.
I do. You're a lying ass.
I've been getting better.
I come in, hey, babe, yada, 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 yada. You be like. All I hear is. I'm like, I'm not going to say bad, but all I hear is this. Like,
I'll be getting better.
And you're like, what did you say?
But let me let y'all know that when I go down the hall to Nate's office and I peek my head in there.
Hey, I'm gonna use what you say. It's different. It's different.
No, it's not.
It's different.
Nate gives me the
I give you the get the hell first out of off, here.
First off, he will not
get out.
First off, he will not. He absolutely will not look at me at first, like when I'm in the doorway. He knows I'm there, but he's playing the game.
You need to make some damn noise.
When he's playing the game, he's not looking until they're done because he's playing Warzone.
Warzone.
So, like, they're in an active situation. So, like, he will not stop looking at the game until, like, something happens. And then and usually it's that somebody, they all died and then they're mad and whatever. So.
That's a good interpretation.
So, I go to the doorway. I'm sitting there waiting for him to look at me. Sometimes I walk away. He doesn't even look and I don't got time to wait. But, like, I'll go over there and when he looks at me, he'd be like.
I'm like, what? I was like, I'm in the middle of something.
Like, it's like a two take. It's like a first initial, like,
I see you.
And then it's like a, what do you want?
Nah, it's like, I acknowledge you. I see that you're here. You're moving. You're breathing. Say, what do you want from me? I'm busy right now. Can't even wait.
But no, seriously, like, so just saying all that to say that we're still cohabitating together. With, you know, the new layers of our life. So, being fiancés now, having two dogs and not one, still working for ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, and also a big thing that I don't know if a lot of people pay attention to or mention, but we literally, another part of being in a pandemic, living together, and just really, like, loving the person you're with is also figuring out, like, how are y'all going to keep the house clean? Our apartment gets so cluttered. Like, it's never dirty, but it gets so cluttered just because we're so busy that it be them days where we both just look at each other and we like, we gotta, today's the day. Like, this gotta get cleaned up.
Amen. Hey. I said what I said when I said it.
What did you say?
You know what I said. Your clothes is the majority of the clutter.
That's a lie. Now, I do have a lot of clothes, and they do contribute to the clutter. But they're not the majority.
Shit.
They're not. This morning, y'all, maintenance came in, and y'all know how it is when maintenance come in. You have to, like... At least for me. I don't know if everybody does that, but for me, I don't like for people to come into my space and it be cluttered, messy, whatever. I want it to be pristine. And I think it's because growing up, my grandma would always be like, we can't have company over unless we clean up. So maintenance was coming over. First of all, Nate was tired as hell. And this will be the last story because I feel like we're getting long into the episode. But we ain't did no episodes in a while. But, Nate was like half sleep because, as he said earlier, he was hoping I was gonna get up and take care of the dogs in the morning. And I wasn't. I was tired.
Always tired.
But that's the thing, like, I work early in the morning. Nate doesn't. He chills earlier and he works later. So, like, I'm soaking in all the rest. Because by 8 o'clock, when I'm up, I'm going to be on my computer until at least 3. And then I'm going to take a slight break, be back on my computer to at least 5 or 6. And then I'm probably going to try to do something around 10. Like, my schedule is just crazy right now. So, like, I'm not using that as a sense to say that he doesn't deserve his rest, too. He does. But the day before, I got up early, took care of the dogs, let him have more sleep.
That one time. You see how she tried to word that and put emphasis?
But I thought what he was going to do was like, oh, thank you, babe. She really had my back. And then he was going to do it the next day. And then I'd do it the next day. I thought he was going to do like a hopscotch type thing.
Man, hell no. Because, yeah, that was what? Yesterday? Just Thursday? out of that whole week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. You got Thursday. And I did Friday.
But I will say, he did get up and get the... And you're right.
And I did. I did all last week, too. Don't mention... Nah, ain't no pause. You resume that shit. I did all of the previous week.
But let's not forget that he wanted the dog.
Yeah, I ain't got no problem. So, but you agreed.
I did, but I also said I wasn't going to be the primary.
I mean, all right, fucking shit. Both of my dogs then. Because remember, you said the next dog that came in was going to be kind of your dog. Now, since you said that statement, both of them mine. So, all right.
Okay, well, we getting married. So, I mean, it really is what it is.
Yeah, okay. It's my dog. And I'll bring however many dogs, if it's my dogs.
All I said was, you want another dog, then get me a house.
No, it's going to be our house. Like that. Our ring. Our wedding.
My ring.
Shit. Oh, that's the other thing, too. You was asking, and you was like, oh, I had to pull out the receipt, and I had to...
He didn't have to pull out the receipt for the ring. I was not asking him for the cost or whatever. I did ask him in the beginning...
Like, clarity and all that.
No, I asked him in the beginning to... If he got the ring insured, because if not, I would get it insured. That was the conversation. But after that, I mean, he told me how much he paid for it, and I believed him, but he did pull out his receipts, and I was like, my babe loved me. My babe loved me so much.
You're a fool.
You do. And I love you just as much. But back to the dog morning conversation. You did that. Yeah. And I appreciate you. Yeah. But guess what I did? I cooked dinner tonight. And it was great.
I cooked dinner that same night too. I always cooking dinner. See, y'all always trying.
I'm saying, man, that was my token of appreciation for you getting up early with the dogs. Just like, okay.
I appreciate that.
Yesterday, when I did get up early with the dogs, you know what else I did? I cooked breakfast.
Mm. Oh.
And I cook breakfast for Nate all the time. I'm the breakfast cooker. Oh. I cook the breakfast up in this house.
Yeah. I'm the dinner cooker.
He don't be complaining. And I hadn't cooked breakfast for like a week and a half. It's really been a struggle because I've been deep in my client work. And the day I cooked breakfast.
I got the Pop-Tarts.
The day I cooked breakfast, Nate was like, I was like, I figured we could have some real breakfast today. And he was like, yeah. So like.
I ain't say it like
yes,
that.
Yes, he did.
Hell no. Hell no. I ain't say it like that. You lie. Nah.
You did. He was like, yeah, I appreciate that.
I ain't calling you no liar, but you fibbing your butt off. Anyway.
What else you got?
Man.
That's about all I got.
I mean, y'all probably already know, but I passed my drone license.
He passed his drone test. And I don't know.
We probably talked about that last one, but because of the last one.
I don't know if we had it in the one we actually released, because we did do a whole nother podcast and it got deleted off of my phone. But Nate passed his drone test. So y'all remember when he failed the one time and he was all down about it? He passed. And he really, like, all he did, literally, is he believed in himself and he studied.
I can't stand it. Hey, y'all know the one that he failed? Well, he passed.
Yeah. Oh, I was proud of my babe. I was on pins and needles before because I knew how important it was to him and how much he wanted to pass. And I was waiting for him to call me. I was counting down. I looked at the time because it was like supposed to be like an hour long test or something. And I was just looking at the time. I'm like, he ain't called me yet. So I looked and it was like something 51. And I was like, okay, I got 9 minutes. And he told me that he passed and I was so happy.
Yeah.
That was a big moment. And I will say that